Alright, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Can you please shake the hand of the person seated right behind you for a while and tell the person, I'm so glad you are here this morning. I believe some of our students and single professionals went home to their provinces. Okay, we are down to the third installment of our series called Hark. Okay, we have been looking at the different characters in the Bible. When we started off this series, we started defining what the word hark means. And the word hark simply means to pay attention, right? It simply means to pay attention. And basically, if you would look at the characters that we have studied so far, we've looked at the story of Zechariah. Okay, last week, Tom preached on the life of Mary. Today, we're going to look at the story of Joseph. And this coming Saturday, we're going to look at the story of the shepherds. Like, if there's one common denominator about their life, all of them had angelic visitations. Meaning to say, they were visited by angels, they had visions of angels, or in the case of Joseph, he had a dream of an angel. Okay, and the angel was basically, you know, giving out a message to Joseph. And that is what we're going to look at here this very morning. But you know what? Allow me to explain something for a while. You know, it's almost impossible to look at the story of Christmas or to look at the story of Mary and Joseph in particular without revisiting the book of Genesis, all right? If you're familiar with your Bible, the first book of your Bible is basically the book of Genesis, all right? And you know what happened in that book? Our forefathers named Adam and Eve sinned against God. And you know what? Of course, God knew about it simply because he was God. And it was because, you know, the serpent with all its scheme tempted Eve and Adam to partake of the forbidden fruit for that matter. And because of that, sin entered into the world. And there was a portion in that story wherein God started talking to the serpent, or God started talking to Satan himself. And that basically gives us a glimpse of what God is going to do thousands of years after that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, look at this one. Here's what God said. He was talking to the serpent. He said, I will put enmity. Enmity right there simply means hostility. Okay, so meaning to say, there's gonna be a war that's going to happen, all right? There's gonna be a fight, there's gonna be a battle, right? So ever since that day, there has been a hostility between the devil and the people of God. It says here, I will put enmity between you and the woman, okay, was talking to the serpent, and between, look at this one, he's hinting something, and between your offspring and her offspring, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. In this part of the scripture right here, I want us to focus on two words. The first word is the word enmity. Okay, first things first, there's just hatred between the two. Okay, God and his people. And the second word that I want us to look at here is the word offspring. Okay, basically God is hinting something. Because sin entered into the world, he was hinting that the solution for sin was a son. All right? A son for sin. It's basically as simple as that. And if you go back to that verse, it says here, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. It gives us a picture of what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ in the later stages of his life when he was about to be crucified. Of course, he was crucified. But the Bible says, basically, Jesus what? Bruised the head, okay, or crushed the head of Satan. And that's basically the end of it all. As early as the book of Genesis, you know, Christmas, you know, to a certain degree, has already been hinted on. Okay, meaning to say, it's something that God has orchestrated in his divine plan, okay, for all of our redemption. In fact, if you go further, there's a prophet called the prophet Isaiah. Okay, let me just read this for a while. Here's one of the prophetic words that he gave. Okay, this is in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says here, this is the prophet Isaiah talking to King Ahaz. Okay, so he was talking to King Ahaz. He said, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Now, look at this one. This is like hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And this is the sign that the son for sin is about to come. It says here, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, Bible says, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, bear the offspring, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which simply means God with us. If you were here last week when we started talking about the story of Mary, we knew for a fact that Mary was a virgin, all right? In fact, what's crazy about that is popular culture gives us a picture of a Mary who's already a matured woman. But that is not the case. If you study the Bible, you would come to understand that Mary was actually a preteen. She was actually a preteen, you know, 12, 13, or around that age, 12, 13, or 14 year old. Imagine that with me for a while, God using Mary for the grand plan of redemption that He has for humankind. When we are parents, if you're a parent, you don't easily entrust your iPad or your car keys, okay, to your 12-year-old. Imagine God entrusting the Savior of the world, okay, to Mary herself. It gives us a picture of the great responsibility and the level of obedience that Joseph and Mary basically have. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the story of Joseph. Not going to take long on this one. Look at this. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, while I was studying this last night, I realized, you know, this is actually a good text for us to talk about manhood, okay? There's not too many people that would talk about Joseph, maybe Joseph the dreamer, but Joseph the father of Jesus. Not too many preachings or sermons are basically taught about this man right here. But if you look at the story of this man, this carpenter right here, there's so many things that we could learn from him. Okay, it says here, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. In verse 20, it says here, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 21, it says here, she will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which simply means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, Mary, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. All right, now, let's look at the story of Joseph for a while, okay? First things first, Joseph was from a place in Galilee called Nazareth, all right? He was from a place in Galilee or a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Now, why is this important? Why are we putting this here? To my knowledge, the city of Nazareth first appeared in the book of Luke. I mean, that's the first mention of the city of Nazareth in the Bible. Now, it says here, he was from a city in Galilee named Nazareth. Now, if you look at Nazareth, if you would study the place, or if you would try to study about the city of Nazareth, you would come to understand that Nazareth was an obscure place. Meaning to say, there's nothing important or no one important coming from Nazareth. Right? I just want us to imagine this place for a while. Okay? This is like one of those places we're in. You know, if you would commute, let's say from Dumaguete going somewhere, Dumaguete to Cebu, or Dumaguete up until Iloilo, you know, sometimes you pass by certain places wherein all you have to do is just get a bottled water. And after that, all you want to do is just leave that place because there's no Jollibee, there's no Palawan Pawn Shop, there's no M. Louisier, there's no Angel's Burger. You folks get what I mean? I mean, this is the kind of place that we're talking about. I'm not looking down on these places, of course. But I'm just giving us a picture that if you start talking to people about Nazareth, people would be like, where in the world is Nazareth? Or they would raise their eyebrows when people would say that there's something good that's going to come out of Nazareth. Okay? Nazareth was an obscure place. There's nothing significant and no one important that come from Nazareth. Now, we get a picture that Joseph right here was a carpenter. Okay? He was a carpenter and he was engaged to Mary. Okay? He was doing a lot of household chores. And if there's basically one thing that would describe their life was tough. Okay, Mary at an early age, you know, at age 12, age 11, age 13, would be getting water, you know, bringing water from here to there. And Joseph would be working as a carpenter in an obscure place. Okay, a place that people don't really care about. Right? Of all places that God could have showed up, guess what? God showed up in Nazareth. Of all places that God could have showed up, he could have showed up in Jerusalem. Okay, he could have showed up in the more important places that you see in the Bible. Okay, but the angel didn't show up in any of those places. He basically showed up in a city called Nazareth. So here's my question for everyone as we start talking about the life of Joseph here. Why did God choose Joseph and Mary? I don't know if you ever thought about that. I'm yet to look into this, but I haven't really studied what's the census of the entire world that year, okay, when Jesus was born. Okay, right now we have like how many? 7 billion people. I don't know what the census is during that time, but just imagine this with me. It's like when I got birthed again in the faith, I was like thinking, Lord, of all the billions of people in the world, you've called me. Come on now. Just imagine this with me. Of the 300,000 during daytime people in Dumaguete, of the 100 plus thousand people in Dumaguete, you're the ones seated right there now enjoying worship here. Now, I don't know how important that is to you, but if you ask me, I always thank God for that. I always thank God that He has saved me when I was 19. Now, imagine this place with me. Imagine a difficult life. Imagine a hard-up life. No money. Everything is so busy. You're from an obscure place called Nazareth. No cell phone signal. Now, of all the people in the world, why in the world did God choose Mary and Joseph? I have a theory. It's unbiblical, okay? But it's a theory. My theory is basically this one. I would rather assume, of course, it's all by God's grace, amen? But I would rather assume that God chose Mary and Joseph simply because both of them individually had a good history of packets of obedience. Like what I told you a while ago, you will not entrust an iPad or a car to a 12-year-old. How much more entrusting the Savior of the world to a 12-year-old? Why in the world did God choose Mary and Joseph? I would rather believe that it is because they had a good history of packets of obedience. What am I talking about? When I say packets of obedience, I'm talking about your unpopular decisions. I'm talking about, you know, small steps of obedience that you don't have to wait for the applaud of men. Wherein you do things that honor God even if no one is watching. You don't have to post it on Twitter. You don't have to post it on Facebook. So I feel like these two young people right here are so notorious in hell. Satan knows that there's something about these two, that they would obey God whatever it takes. They had a good history of packets of obedience. I want us to understand this as we are in a Christmas season right now. I want us to understand this. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever it is that you do in life, whether you're a carpenter, you're a dentist, whatever, I want you to understand this. If you want God to use you, I want us to understand that God does not look at your influence or affluence. He looks at your humility and obedience. To a certain extent, I believe that, you know, God is no respecter of men. He doesn't look at how much money you have or the money that you do not have. He doesn't look at your position. But guess what, folks? I hope this Christmas season, I want us all to understand that God wants us to obey even the smallest things. And of course, there's nothing to obey if you don't read God's word. So if you get into God's word and you do packets of obedience, I tell you what, it will become a habit. Because sometimes we feel like, I want to obey this much stuff, but you cannot obey the small stuff that God wants you to do. That's why sometimes God would, to a certain extent, hold back in entrusting us bigger responsibilities, perhaps bigger money, perhaps great relationships, simply because we are unfaithful with the small ones. Okay, but I don't intend for this to be a sad message. Okay? It's Christmas time. He doesn't look at our influence or affluence. He looks at our humility and obedience. Now, if you look at verse 18, or if you look at the story of Joseph, it's actually a story of obedience. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. It says here, before they came together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Let's look at verse 18 for a while. It says here, they were betrothed. Meaning to say, in our current language right now, they were engaged. But it's a little different. It's a little more culturally different, okay? Their engagement or being betrothed to each other would last for a year. So meaning to say, it's like they're already married, but they're not yet married. You folks catch that? In what sense? They're like already a couple. People are looking at them and they're like, hey, there's the power couple. But guess what? There's no consummation in their relationship because they're not having sex. You folks catch that? So meaning to say, they were engaged, but they're not having sex. All right? Because sex happens after the wedding day. Amen? All right, very good. Now, pang Christmas ba talaga to? Parang pang February to. They were pledged to be married. Okay, and just imagine them planning for their wedding. They were planning for their wedding, making a guest list. Now, here's the problem. I just read this for a while. Look at this one. It says here, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, look at this one. First things first, it says here, before they came together. So before they actually had sexual union. Okay, before they had sex. The Bible says, Mary was already pregnant. Now, think with me for a while. Think with me. Let's say they were having dinner. And Mary was like, three times. I wanna tell you something. May gusto akong sabihin, sweetheart. Oh, ano yun? Ano yun? Nasusuka na. Bakit yan? Bakit ka nasusuka? Buntis ako. I'm pregnant. Now imagine, I'm talking about a carpenter. I'm talking about a rough guy. This is a carpenter. Right? Imagine him being so angry. You know, I don't know. If you're here, you're a guy, that happens to you, don't you think you're gonna be angry? Siguro kinuha niya yung martilyo niya. Parang sino yung lalaking yan? Sabi ni Mary sa kanya, Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Of course, the Bible gives us this story, but imagine the train of conversations that time. Maybe they were already arguing. I mean, what Holy Spirit are you talking about? Imagine all the wedding plans. Imagine everything that they were preparing for, and now she's married. And do you think Joseph actually believed her that it was from the Holy Spirit? I don't think so. May fever ka ba? So, you know, I believe, you know, Joseph was really heartbroken. Just be honest with me. Is there anyone of you who's ever been heartbroken before? Can I see your hands for a while? You've been heartbroken. Look at that one right there. Okay, sino pa? Sino pa? Heartbroken kayo before? It could be just like this guy right here. He was doing emo. I believe that. If I put myself in a situation, man, that hurts. I mean, imagine the confusion. Imagine the pain. Imagine the feeling of betrayal. And then your fiancé tells you that it's with the Holy Spirit. Hindi lang adulteress, liar pa. Of course, he would have thought that Mary was basically lying. And imagine the reputation of Joseph and Mary and what has been happening here. What I'm interested at in this story right here is how Joseph responded in all of these things. And I feel like, you know what, it's a great story or a great reminder for a lot of the guys or the men in this room right now. And I feel like this is a story of how we could go through the different obstacles in life as men, all right? Look at this one. In verse 19, it says here, her husband Joseph, being a just man, look at this one, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Let me just talk about this for a while. Look at this one. It says here in verse 19, look at this. In the middle of confusion, all right? Imagine the time that you were so confused. Imagine the time that you were so angry. Can you guys remember that? You were so angry? Imagine the time that you felt betrayed. Imagine the time that you were really in pain. You are in the middle of that, right smack in the middle of that. Here's what Joseph did. In the middle of all of those things, the Bible says, being a just man, he was what? Unwilling to put her to shame and resolve to divorce her quietly. I don't know with you, but I would rather assume that a lot of times, all of us here, maybe, when we are in pain, we tend to become self-centered. Right? Haven't you noticed that when you're in pain, for a moment, the world revolves around you because you're focusing on the pain, on the confusion, on the anger. A lot of times when we are in pain, we become what? Self-centered. That's why we wanted counsel from different people. That's why all the more, sometimes when people don't talk to us, all the more we become offended. But look at this guy right here. in the middle of pain, Bible says he was unwilling to put her to shame. He was basically what? He was still thinking of Mary's good reputation. What a selfless man that we have here. Not just that, it says here, he resolved to divorce her quietly. The word resolve there gives us a picture that he started processing these things. Ibig sabihin, pinag-isipan niya. Maybe he stormed out of that date, but he started thinking, man, what am I going to do? Mary is pregnant. My fiance is pregnant. And she says, it's from the Holy Spirit. Guess what? If you read your Bible, you would come to understand that adultery is punishable by death. So it could be that, you know what? People getting rocks and stoning Mary is already playing in his mind. Because if people will see what has been happening here, if he was to bring this accusation further, he has all the rights to cause people to stone her to death. But the Bible says he resolved what? He resolved to divorce her quietly. He resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, here's another question for all of us. What enabled Joseph to withstand all the pressures and pain? What enabled him to withstand all the pressures and pain? You know, all of this confusion that he was getting into at that time. Like what I said a while ago, this is going to be a brief message. And I hope and pray that this is going to be something that you get to apply this Christmas season or even beyond Christmas season. If you're here and you are, you know, in a confusing situation, there's so much pressure around you. I don't know what that is. Look at this one. You take it from this man. What enabled Joseph to withstand all the pressures and pain? Look at this one. In verse 19, it's actually there. It says here, her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. He was able to do what he needed to do that honors and pleases God simply because he was a just man. Now take note, it says here, he was a just man. It doesn't say he was just a man. Come on now. A lot of times, we make excuses saying, I reserve the right to react this way because I'm just a man. Tao lang po. Sometimes we make justifications for our anger or whatever. We make justifications for our sin saying, Lord, tao lang. It doesn't say he's just a man. He said he was a just man. What does it mean? Joseph was a just man. Look at this one. If you are just, you get to what? To bring out good decisions in your life. Just simply means what? Just simply means righteous before God. At the end of the day, your joy, happiness in the middle of trouble is basically hinged in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's basically as simple as this one. If you look at the story of Joseph, if you have more Jesus, you're going to have less drama. You spend what? 2 hours? You spend 2 hours focusing on the negative things that are happening in your life? Guess what? I want to give you a practical step. You spend 2 hours thinking about your finance and everything, and you're so in pain. Look at this one. Insert Jesus, there's going to be less drama. Insert Jesus, you're going to have hope, you're going to have faith. Man, Lord, we can do this. Because the Bible says in Luke last week, remember what the angel Gabriel told Mary? Nothing is impossible with God. And I've been praying, you know, this is going to be like a theme for you. You know, yes, this is a story of Joseph, but guess what? Sorry to say this, but a lot of times, the women are the madrama. Ladies, look up here for a while. If you have such a wonderful relationship with Jesus, there's going to be less drama in your life. There's going to be less gossip. There's going to be less heartaches. There's going to be less offense. Why? Because Jesus reigns supreme in your life. You have more Jesus, you're gonna have less drama. This guy right here, Joseph, because he was a man of God, he was just, there's not gonna be any drama anymore. Wala na mga sampalan, wala na pang cinema one. Hindi na natin kailangan yun. Look, I'm not saying that you don't bring out your emotions. That's not my point, okay? I'm not saying you don't cry when you talk to people. That's not my point. My point is, a lot of times, our problems could actually be solved if you basically what? Bring in Jesus. That's what it means to live a Christ-centered life. That you basically invite Jesus in the different aspects of our life. The next verse gives us a picture of what kind of a man Joseph is. It says here, as he considered a divorce, look at this one. Behold, Bible says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Let me just pause there for a while. Look at this one. The angel Gabriel himself proved to Joseph that Mary wasn't lying. God himself basically confirmed what Mary said. This gives us a picture that at the end of the day, friends, vindication comes from the Lord. I don't know with you, but you know, I've gotten myself in different situations wherein I feel like I have to explain myself. Lord, I have to explain this, but you know, sometimes you just have to shut up and let God reveal it to the people around you. And that's basically what happened to Mary right here. Mary was vindicated by God himself. Then it says here, he came to realize that, you know what, Joseph, son of David, he said, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. So it gives us a picture that amidst the firm stance of Joseph, he was becoming fearful. I mean, what will people say? What will people think? Come on now, a lot of times we are like that. We're so conscious about what people might think about us. And here's what he said. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. When Joseph woke from sleep, look at this one. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. If you look at the story right here, the Bible says, the moment he woke up, he did everything as the angel told him. That's what you could accomplish if you have more God and less drama. Your obedience will not be clouded. You know things that are from God, you know things that aren't from God. And guess what? The moment he woke up, the Bible says, he took Mary in, he took his wife, but knew her not, knew there, if you look at the word know, in the Bible, know basically talks about what? Sexual union between a man and a woman. A sexual union. But he didn't have sex with her until she had given birth to a son and he called his name Jesus. What can we learn from the story of Joseph right here? Other than being a just man, he was an obedient man. Guess what? From the packets of obedience, he get to obey God in the different seasons of his life. His obedience could be described in these words right here. Joseph's obedience were what? Were immediate, unconditional, and complete. Immediate, meaning to say, moment God tells him to do it, he starts doing it. I hope that we will be like that as Christians. The moment God points something in your life, I hope and pray that we will be people who would immediately obey whatever those things are. It says here, unconditional. He doesn't bargain with the angel of God. He doesn't bargain with God, but he just basically do it, whatever it takes. And it says here, it was complete. His obedience was complete. I hope this coming Christmas season, we will have the attitude, okay, of this carpenter right here in the name of Joseph. That we will be a people who are just and we will be obedient people. Not just in big leaps of obedience, but even in packets of obedience. Amen?